And this is WGBH's Morning Edition. Good morning. It's now 8:49 on this Thursday morning, and you may have been wondering where Jared Bowen has been for the past 2 weeks. Welcome back, Jared.
Thank you. I've been far, far away.
I know. We've missed you greatly, and I wanted to let people know where you went, because you went to quite an exciting place.
Well, yeah, I spent 2 weeks really getting to know our country. I spent a week driving from Chicago to Montana, and then I spent a week at a dude ranch in Montana.
They really have those dude ranches.
They really do. It's spectacular country out there. And I have to say, I was so struck by that landscape. I hadn't been in that part of the country, and I went to Yellowstone, and I went to the Badlands National Park, Wind Cave National Park, drove all through Wyoming, saw the Devil's Tower, which many people know from Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Right.
I mean, we have just a beautiful, spectacular country, and I think, you know, we all know that certainly here in the Northeast in New England, we can appreciate it, but I have to say, I found it so staggering, and the best part was to see how many families were out there just having their road trips, their family vacations. Everybody's happy, so you think in this time where we're so mired in politics and we sort of associate our country with what's happening politically, it was nice to see people take a break, enjoy grandparents, enjoy parents, and just be happy.
Sounds wonderful. What a review of the West by Jared Bowen. Okay. Well, it's great to have you back. And you're right. It is beautiful, especially west of Chicago there when you travel out. So unlike New England and different. But we're here to talk about some a bunch of things. And the first thing we're talking about is actually a whole technological advance. And that deals with these huge multi-screen LED screens that we see. In fact, right here at WGBH, we have one. And this is kind of a growing phenomenon. Tell us about it.
Well, GBH sort of started this trend. Of course, it's big in New York and big in Europe and actually apparently very big in South Korea. And this is a trend of cyber arts, big, massive digital murals. And we have one on the side of our building here at WGBH. And now at the Convention Center in South Boston, there's an 80-foot-tall mural, 7 screens, 3,000 square feet of space, essentially, for people to program. And the Convention Center Authority there has teamed up with Boston Cyber Arts, and they are curating rounds of artists who present on the screen. And it's everything from sort of abstract views to very deliberate intents. There was one person I spoke with who has a piece called Rain, where you have, it's basically commentary on consumption. You have all of these coffee cups, these old coffee cups coming down on you, and you realize how much we use and how much we waste. But so that's happening at the Convention Center. There's also some programming at the Boston Harbor Islands Pavilion, also with Boston Cyber Arts, where they're actually taking information from the Harbor Islands and they're translating it into artistic form. Wow. And then finally at Arts Emerson at the side of their Paramount Theater, they have found artists too. Some people who are very well known and collected, as it were, in major museums across the country. But I did talk to George Fifield, the director of Boston Cyber Arts, about what he's programming right now at the Convention Center.
We have a wonderful piece by Michael Louie called City of Work, which is, I said, dystopian a little bit, about the ennui of being in an office situation and riding up and down in an elevator. There's a beautiful abstract piece by Dennis Miller. There's a gorgeous sort of landscapey piece by Georgie Friedman, who's already one of the top video sculptors in the area, that's sea and sky just sort of dealing with each other. They're really gorgeous.
Now, George used an interesting term there. He said video sculptures.
Well, that's really how they look at it, because especially for these spaces, they're In this particular case with the Convention Center, they're only looking at Massachusetts artists because it is a state authority. So these are artists who have to look at this form. And as I said, it's not an easy one because it has different levels, different dynamics, because there are different screens, and they really have to sculpt and craft for this form. And it's, I have to say, it's great. You come out of the Mass Pike or however you're getting to South Boston, this is such a huge screen that you can see it quite a ways away. And it's very refreshing to not just see advertising, which you will see. They do have to make some money, so they mingle it in. But it's great to suddenly be blasted with these really interesting pieces of art.
Now, how do they select these artists? How do they find them? And how do these artists actually develop these things?
Well, now that they're getting known, they're in their second round now. They've just ended their third call for artists. And it's a team from Boston Cyber Arts and the Convention Center Authority who then look through. They can't really push the envelope. I asked. I wish they would a little bit. But because it's a state authority again, it's state ground, they can't have controversy. But they they look at these artists as any museum might when assembling an exhibit. Wow.
Well, you know, this new technology, obviously we're going to see a lot more of this type of thing, so it'll be exciting to
see. There's going to be no end, and like I said, like George had told me, it's happening all around the world, and it's great that we're going full force here in Boston.
So the Convention Center, Boston Harbor Islands, and Arts Emerson, Emerson College, all connected through this LED marquee system, so take a look. It sounds great. Next, we move on to the Boston Common, where you can see Shakespearean plays this summer, and you saw one last night.
Yeah, Coriolanus is Commonwealth Shakespeare's company's... God, I've been on vacation. I can't talk this morning.
All that Montana air.
I know. I'm used to being on a horse at this hour. But Coriolanus is their production for this summer, and I saw it last night. Last night was opening night, and this is fantastic. This is one of Shakespeare's lesser-known plays. It's not presented as often, but they've chosen it for this year because there are a lot of ties to current times, and basically you have a group of people, a population that is greatly disenchanted with government and their circumstances and economic circumstances. There's not enough grain, they don't feel well fed, and yet they're looking at the 1%, essentially the nobility of Rome, who lords over them. And you have this leader, Coriolanus, who is great on the battlefield, but then when he's forced into politics, can't really deal with the people, and he's banished, and of course, it rises to Shakespearean levels. Karen McDonald plays Coriolanus' mother. She's a fabulous Boston actress. She's terrific, just discussing how anger is her meat, so she's one of those horrible, iconic mothers of all time. And Nicholas Carrere, I have to say, is Coriolanus, and he is fantastic. He's so captivating from beginning to end. I think it's very well directed. It's sort of set in this, speaking of dystopian future, with everybody sort of dressed in leather and Carhartt and lots of billowing smoke and rusty beams. And it's really fantastic. And I have to say, they're up to speed already, given the fact that this poor company has worked so hard and they've been rained out quite a bit already.
Oh. Well, what is it like? I was going to ask you, seeing this on Boston Common.
It's great, especially last night, which was sort of a cool night, and you see this playing out before you, and there are these epic battle scenes and the smoke that's billowing out, you know, onto the stage and off into the audience. It definitely is very transportive, I found.
Okay, so that's Commonwealth Shakespeare Company, Coriolanus, on Boston Common through August 12th. And next, Michael Jackson, the Immortal World Tour.
Yes, Cirque du Soleil is back. We just had them here with Totem, and they're back with one of their big arena shows. And this is Michael Jackson, as you said, the Immortal World Tour, which takes you through essentially the whole arc of his career, from beginning in childhood and until the near end. And this is an epic show.
It must be.
It is. In fact, it's the biggest show in the world right now, they told me. It's bigger than Madonna, bigger than any of the concert shows.
Even for Cirque du Soleil, this is a big show.
Well, this is how you have to look at it. When you're taking on the king of pop, who is just over-the-top in spectacle, combined with Cirque du Soleil, which is generally over-the-top in spectacle, you get a really big show. I haven't seen it because it doesn't open. It plays Thursday and Friday, but it's from what I saw in rehearsal, it's pretty striking. I did have a chance to talk to a dancer, Chandra Lee, about the sort of the epitome of Michael Jackson dance.
It's like a style of its own. It's the same as ballet, tap, jazz, and then there's Michael Jackson. It's actually a form. It's a thing you have to study. It's something you have to master. You know, there's something oozy about it. It's so smooth and sexy and crisp, and it's so many things.
Wow. Great description.
Well, that's the thing. Michael Jackson is he's just so everything. And that's why I think this show is going to be really spectacular, especially from what I saw in the rehearsal. And the great thing is they worked closely with Michael Jackson's estate and his family because they had, he had a great interest in Cirque du Soleil before he died. So there was talks of possibly having a collaboration. So now they've sort of reinvented and revived that by going into his music to create the show.
And that's playing TD Garden tomorrow and Saturday.
Tomorrow and Saturday only.
That's it. Okay, you Michael Jackson fans, get out there. And it's great to have you back, Jared. You can take your cowboy hat off now.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.